Hey everyone, welcome to the Tribe Culture Life podcast, where our stories and our lives matter. I'm your host, Brittany Montgomery, and I invite you to listen in a few times a month as I chat about issues that we as members of the Black and POC communities face every day. I'll be sharing stories and perspectives that matter to you, from raising children to relationships, entrepreneurship, and traveling, and all aspects in between. If any of those topics interest you, you are definitely my tribe, and you are definitely in the right place. So I want to thank Lisa's Makerspace for sponsoring today's episode. Lisa's Makerspace specializes in unique, culturally minded, handcrafted gifts featuring images that look like us. One of my personal favorites is the 120-piece puzzle. The images are bright and vibrant, and they make for a relaxing, quiet activity once the kids are in bed. Plus, bonus, once they're complete, you have a beautiful piece of artwork to display. For more info, go to alldaybrittany.com/Lisa's Maker Space, all one word, and make sure to use the code ALLDAY at checkout for a free gift with your purchase. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Tribe Culture Life podcast. Today, I am chatting with Cassandra T. Lee of the Quirky Pineapple Studio, where she and her team help business owners with content creation and management and website copywriting. Cassandra is based out of Madrid, Spain, where she lives with her partner. So we're talking today about Cassandra's journey finding love abroad, which I'm super excited to talk about because I love love.
Me too.
And And also the big decision of relocating to another country. So first of all, Cassandra, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Of course. So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So kind of jumping right in. So Spain was originally a temporary move, right? Back in 2014. So yes. Tell me a little bit about that decision. Like, was it a hard one to make? And just tell me about the decision.
Yeah. Okay. So I studied hospitality and tourism management back in college. And I knew that I wanted to travel and kind of just explore. And a lot of my friends actually, right after graduation, got full-time jobs in different hotels, whether that's like Four Seasons or Hilton or something, or they were managing really large event planning companies. And that's kind of the route that I was supposed to go in. And then I realized working for a hotel means that your soul belongs to the hotel. And I realized, not for me. So my parents have a spa and one of their clients actually taught English abroad in Spain. And they told me about the program that I joined. So I basically said, okay, well, for 1 year, I'll travel. I'll, you know, improve my Spanish. I'll get to explore Europe. And then I'll come home and look for a full-time regular job. That didn't happen because here I am again, still in Spain. But basically, after 1 year teaching English abroad, my parents were kind of like, okay, 1 year, sure, you can have your gap year, whatever. And I said, yeah, don't worry. After a year, I'll know what I'm doing. I didn't know what I was doing. So I renewed for a second year and taught English in Spain from 2014 to June 2016. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the short version of how I decided to move abroad the first time.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that part of your journey with us. And so it's such a huge decision, I think, to move out of the country that you're familiar with and all of that. A lot of the people that I've spoken with have moved with their families, but you moved alone. And so that's huge. What was that like? And did you experience any kind of culture shock or anything like that when you first made the move?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I think my parents were slightly terrified. They are immigrants from Vietnam, and I was born in the United States. So their whole idea of me moving abroad to a whole different country was kind of based off of their experience of being immigrants and also refugees from the Vietnam War. So they were really not happy with the idea of me permanently moving abroad. When I first arrived in Spain, and I'm from like the Washington, D.C. area, right outside of DC. So it's quite diverse and it's like a pretty big area, the suburbs, DC, Northern Virginia, all of it. And I was placed through this program in a small town that was about, I think, 10 to 12,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was a really big culture shock. At first, I didn't think it was going to be because I thought, oh, you know, I stick out anyways. In college, I stuck out. You know, I have a pretty like colorful wardrobe. I've got tattoos. Yeah, I've got piercings. That's what I thought. And the funny thing was, my dad actually came with me to kind of quote unquote drop me off because I guess he was terrified. And I just remember the first time he like really let me go. And then he was driving to the airport to leave. He was like, you know, Cassandra, do you think you're going to stick out in this town? I mean, it's not very big. And I was like, oh, Dad, like I always stick out. You know, I'm pretty loud. I've got a loud personality, blah, blah, blah. Little did I know, my dad didn't mean it that way because there aren't a lot of Asian Americans or Asian people there. And I didn't think about it like that. I just thought about it like, yeah, I'm a loud person, whatever. I had such big culture shock from going from a really large area to a small town, being kind of the only Asian American, I think, there. Mm-hmm. And then also I went blonde in Spain. So if you can imagine an Asian person speaking English, but pretty good Spanish at that point with blonde hair. And people were like, who is this? What is this? Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about that experience, because that's a good point, too. You were thinking, oh, like the tattoos and all of that. And your dad's like, no, no, no.
He didn't say that to me, though. He just kind of shook his head and was like, oh, she's going to learn. I'm not going to say anything. She just needs to learn on her own.
So you go from this kind of diverse area, of course, you know, we all know Washington, D.C. It's one of those, you know, melting pot cities. And now you're in this kind of small town. Did you feel, I guess, like accepted and comfortable right away? Or what did that part of your journey look like?
So the first couple months, I think because, you know, most people hadn't ever seen, I guess, an English speaking Asian person, because most of the immigrants here who are Asian come from mainland China. So they speak either Chinese or Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I look, I guess, Chinese to people who've never seen Asian Americans. And that was a little bit weird. I know I'm Asian. I grew up knowing that I was Vietnamese American, but I didn't really realize how big of a deal that was to people who had never met somebody like me before. So the first couple of months, I just remember walking around the streets and like people would actually point and stare at me and they would whisper things like, oh, look at her. Well, this is all in Spanish. They're like, oh, look at her, the Chinese girl. Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. And it really got to me in the beginning because I was like, oh my gosh, these are like microaggressions. This is really intense. And then after a while, I guess after 3, 4, 5 months, people got used to seeing me and I was teaching English to kids in school. So the kids knew me, their families knew me. And then gradually it kind of was just normal. People recognized me when I walked around. They just said hello now. And I think it was just like the first couple months where they were also in this weird, like ignorant, curious state. Mm-hmm. And I also had to learn that it was curiosity, ignorance at the same time. And like immigration here is very different than immigration in the United States.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's one thing to go somewhere and, okay, cool, cool, cool. There's not like a lot of diversity. There's only one or two of me. All right, got it. But yeah, like to go somewhere and it's literally some of the people that you're coming into contact, like you are literally the first, you know, yeah, Asian American or the first Black person that they've ever come That is just a weird experience. Did you get a lot of random questions as people are trying to get to know you? Like, oh, well, why does this happen? Or why do you guys like?
Yes, all the time. And of course, like all these stereotypes that I thought, oh, these are things that I dealt with when I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
Like questions like that. And I'm getting questions like this from like grown adults. But I guess it was just curiosity. And of course, nobody really had interactions with an Asian American person before. So they just wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. I guess people don't realize that, you know, sometimes there's Google. So you don't really need to ask me. You can ask Google. But you know, that's absolutely a whole other thing.
That's a whole other episode.
Exactly. We got to get into that another time.
Yes. So, okay. So you're in this new area. And then I'm curious, so were you actively looking for love or were you just kind of open to it? How did you meet your partner?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I was totally not open to it. I came here, well, my first year, I came to Spain thinking, okay, I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm living my life. I'm a single 20-something year old. I'm just going to explore Europe. And all my family and friends back home were like, oh, we bet you're going to meet someone. We don't think it's going to be a Spaniard, though. It's probably going to be like another American living abroad. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I'm not even coming into this thinking about like dating. Mm-hmm. Maybe for fun, sure, but not at all. And then I actually met my partner the first day I moved into my apartment mm-hmm. because it's a little bit of a funny story. So the apartment I moved into, I had a roommate, and it turns out that my partner lived in that same apartment prior, like a couple months before, and they lived with the same roommate that I moved in with. And so when I arrived, there was like a town carnival, and my roommate said, oh, hey, I know somebody who speaks English. They just came back from London. Let's go meet them, because I had no idea how to speak Spanish at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was the first day we went out. I met my partner, and then that's kind of how it all started. It was just very, very random and all kind of tied in together in some weird way.
It's the universe throwing y'all together. I love it.
I know.
So you mentioned that you didn't speak Spanish very well at that point. So was there like a language barrier? And if so, how did you all kind of work through that in the beginning?
Yes, there was definitely a language barrier. So my partner is Spanish and he speaks English. And when I met him, he had just moved back from the UK. So his English level was a lot better than my Spanish level. In the beginning, I don't really know how we communicated, to be honest, because when people ask us that now, we both look at each other and we're like, I don't know, because both of us really didn't speak each other's languages like at all. And I guess gradually, because I was immersed in the culture and also the language, my Spanish level got better. But it's not enough where, like, you know, we could actually have, I guess, lengthy, complicated conversations or debates, or like if we argued, it would take a really long time for the other person to understand what the other one was saying. I just remember one of our first arguments. I don't even remember what it was about, but I think we argued for 4 hours because we just couldn't understand each other. And it was more like, can you repeat that again? And I'm like, no, I'm angry. I'm not repeating it. And then I remember he was like, can you say it in Spanish? Because your Spanish level's gotten a lot better. So can you repeat what you said? I'm like, what? No, I can't express my anger in Spanish the same way I express it in English.
Lost in translation.
Yeah, that happened a lot in the beginning. It's gotten a lot better now.
I love that. And so I know at one point you ended up moving back to the States, and then you guys did the long distance thing for, what was it, a year and a half, right?
Yeah, so we did long distance for a year and a half because I realized that I don't want to teach English anymore. And I was seeing all of my friends, I guess, get like promotions and move up in the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, what if I just gave it a try? Like, you know, mom and dad have been saying that I should try before I, you know, totally knock it. And I said, okay, I want to go home, try and get a full-time job, be around more creative people, and not be in small towns anymore. Mm-hmm. So I lived in that 12,000 person town, and then we moved actually to a different town that was about 20,000. Mm-hmm. That's still not very big compared to the suburbs of DC.
Right.
So I really just needed like more people. And in the year and a half, my boyfriend, he actually came to live with me and my family for 3 months to kind of like, quote unquote, test out the US.
Yeah.
He lived in our basement. He paid my family rent. And he really kind of just got deep into, I guess, US culture and kind of got a taste of it. And then we were kind of trying to decide, okay, who's going to move? Is he going to come to the United States or am I going to go back to Spain? Mm-hmm. And that was like a really long conversation because clearly I was home for a year and a half.
Yeah. And so how do you even like make a decision like that? You know, does he kind of leave his home long term or do you leave your home long term? I mean, obviously it took a while, but how did that go for you all?
It was really hard. And I feel like it was trying to decide, okay, who would be happier mm-hmm. in like kind of leaving their home and living in a different country for a longer period of time. And we were thinking about it. And I realized at that point that office life in a corporate America wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to give my hand at business ownership. And then we were also thinking about logistics and immigration paperwork and all of that. And for him to come to the US, we would have had to get married and go through the whole K-1 visa process. And that also takes a long time because you can start the process, but then potentially your partner might not actually be able to come over mm-hmm. for like another year or who knows how long. But for me coming back to Spain, we have something here called pareja de hecho, which I guess is kind of like a civil union, but not. Mm-hmm. It's basically where the government recognizes that you're in a pretty serious relationship, and that allowed me to get a residency visa. So yeah, we decided, okay, this makes more sense. We don't have to like go through the paperwork of getting married. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to rush it. And then I could start my business abroad with the option of having universal healthcare. Because I think if he were to come over and I was still working like my entry-level job and getting paid entry-level salary, I don't think I would have had the money to basically show to the US government that I could support both of us. Mm-hmm. And then for us to get an apartment in the DC area. And then a car, and then paying health insurance for both of us. It didn't make sense.
Hey, y'all. So if you're listening to this episode, I know you're my tribe, and I'm 100% sure you're as passionate about supporting Black and POC-owned businesses as I am. Have you ever gone to purchase something or look for a service provider and had to jump on the Googler or wade through Facebook groups filled with spam and unrelated ads to find what you're looking for? Well, I created the Black-owned Spotlight Group to help alleviate some of that drama. Join our community where customers just like you shout out their favorite Black and POC-owned businesses with real reviews and positive experiences. Find what you're looking for through a quick search or shout out your own favorite Black or POC-owned business. Word of mouth is still huge for lots of small businesses. They need our help now more than ever, and a quick shout out is a great way to help ensure they'll be around for years to come. Ready to join us? Go to alldaybrittany.com/Black-owned-spotlight for more info. And now back to the show. Oh, yeah, I can imagine. That's actually a really good point. You know, I mean, the U.S., we are, I think, notoriously and disappointingly tough on immigrants and people who are, mm-hmm. you know, trying to make their lives in this country. So thank you for bringing that up. That is definitely, I can see how that was another layer to you guys' situation for sure.
Yeah, because I don't think, like, if we actually went through the process, it would have taken him, I think, either 6 months to a year or potentially longer to actually get the green card to start working. Mm-hmm. And if he's not, or if he didn't have that card, then he couldn't work, which means I would have had enough money and make enough money to pay for two people.
Yeah.
And I had only just, quote unquote, really started my corporate America career a year and a half ago. So being entry level to support two people, I was like, oh, I don't think this is going to work. And that's kind of why we decided that I would come back to Spain.
Gotcha. And so you mentioned that you are, of course, Vietnamese American and your partner mm-hmm. is Spanish. So what has it been like kind of marrying those two cultures together?
Very interesting. I don't even know how to describe it. I feel like we've adapted a lot of Spanish culture because I'm here. There are like cultural differences, I guess, when we do things at home or maybe the holidays that we celebrate or the food we eat. The thing is, like I'm Vietnamese American, but because I was raised, I guess both at the same time, I don't know where my Vietnamese culture and my American culture are split. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if like we have cultural misunderstandings, we try and figure out, okay, is it coming from the Vietnamese side or the US side? Or just, is it just my family or is it just me? I don't know. That's what's been hard.
Yeah. And that's interesting. So it's almost like it's like three cultures in one, right?
Yeah, definitely three cultures in one. We try and celebrate all the holidays. Halloween, not so much, but like the other ones that are important, yes. Even our Vietnamese holidays. So that's been cool. The only thing is celebrating with like Vietnamese food in Spain is not the easiest since there's not a lot of Vietnamese restaurants here, but that's okay.
Got you. So do you have to do like a lot of cooking and like sourcing for ingredients and all of that stuff?
Oh my gosh, yeah. The other day we bought, I guess a couple months ago while we were in quarantine here, we went on Amazon to look for sriracha because I didn't know where to buy it in Madrid. So we just bought a bottle and we bought a huge bottle of soy sauce because we were like, I don't know where to get the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, food is a part. It's such an important part of probably everyone's culture. You always want those. Everyone has those few dishes that are like, I need those in my life, you know?
Yeah, the comfort food.
Yeah, exactly. Comfort food for sure.
Yep. Being in Madrid was easier though, because it's the capital. And so there are a lot of different restaurants, but we actually just moved. So I think I sent you my bio and I said I'm in Madrid, but I'm not anymore. I'm now in Malaga, which is a southern city in Spain. So right on the coast of the Mediterranean.
Oh, lovely. That sounds really cool.
Very sunny, very warm.
Yeah. And now it's warm there year round, right?
Yeah. Well, I think so. I guess it would be similar to LA weather where it kind of like drops to like 60s. Mm-hmm. Or maybe max like 40s, 50s during January, February. But for the most part, I think today we had about 70 something degrees.
Nice. Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah, people are walking around in flip-flops.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I know.
Well, here in Oklahoma, we're expecting snow tomorrow. So.
Oh, okay. Well, totally different.
Yeah. That's like my dream place where like the weather kind of stays 60 or above is like, that's like my happy spot.
Oh my gosh. Same. Anything below 60, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cold.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm from Georgia. So, well, Texas technically, but that's military. So it's, again, whole different conversation. But grew up mostly in Georgia where it's normally pretty mild. And so now being here where the winter is a little harsher. And I'm like, I don't really like this. Like I had to get a real winter coat. And I'm like, I don't like it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's hot. So. So you've kind of gotten such an amazing opportunity to immerse yourself in Spain and all things like Spanish culture. And what are some of your favorite aspects of Spain and just like everything about the country?
So many different things. It's very, very different than the United States. One, there's more, I think, well, I don't know, because I've only lived in Virginia back at home. There's a lot more sunshine, I think. And it's so cool because Spain is not a very big country, mm-hmm. like kilometer or mile wise, but the north of Spain is so different than the south of Spain. And then the coast of Spain is so different than other areas. So honestly, anywhere you go, you get so many different, I guess, terrains. I don't know the word anymore, like aspects. It can be very green and lush and humid in the north. And then when you come to the south, it's super sunny, very warm. It has more of an Arabic feel to it because Spain is also part of like the old world, quote unquote. So they have so much history and there's Moorish history in the south of Spain, but then there's like Celtic history in the north of Spain. And all of that has been really cool to see and learn about. The food, I think, is also really great. I think they eat a lot of potatoes and eggs here, but the different dishes that they can make with potatoes and eggs is amazing. One of my favorite dishes here is something called migas, which is just like, I guess breadcrumbs is the English translation, but it's like different pieces of bread cut up and then you fry it with like pork belly. Oh, I'm going to tell it to you in Spanish. I hope that's okay for all the people listening.
Of course.
Okay, so it's, you mix like panceta, a chorizo. You can put in a whole bunch of, well, you're supposed to put in a whole bunch of garlic. And it's so good. Everything here is just so good. Sounds it's just good. So simple. The quality of the food is a lot better, I think, than the U.S. Like the meat tastes different to me. And also like the fruits and vegetables taste really different to me. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I really enjoyed. And then about Spanish culture, I think it's a lot more relaxed here. The quality of life, I think, here is a lot better. It's not so much like go, go, go all the time as compared to the U.S. And I think I had a stick up my butt upon arriving back in 2014. I think the stick up my butt has, you know, kind of left a little bit more. So I'm a lot more chill and relaxed.
I love that. Well, so we, let me see. Oh my gosh. I think I was in middle school when my dad was stationed in Germany and we did a bus trip to Barcelona.
And oh, cool.
Yeah. So I don't remember a lot about it, but we have pictures and we had so much fun. We did a lot of like just kind of exploring. And so I always love to hear now. I would love to take my kids back now. So it's always so cool to hear someone's perspective currently of what it's like living over there. It's awesome.
Yeah. Whenever you do come, let me know. I'll send you over some recommendations for whichever city that you go to and a whole list of foods to try.
Yes. And that's something that has changed about me too. Because when I was little, I was not a big adventurous eater. Mm-hmm. And like now, as a parent of three kids, that's like one of the, I don't want to say one of the few joys, but like one of the big things. Oh, getting to try like a new dish. So yeah, that would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, of course. I have lots of different things, different dishes, the traditional ones, different things to try in each region. Got you.
Yes, awesome. And so have you, of course, pre-pandemic, have you guys gotten a chance to travel to other countries and experience that whole part?
Yeah, so I have been able to go to Switzerland, Ireland, Italy, Germany, Portugal, which is right next door, and then down to Morocco, which is, I think you can take a ferry down to Morocco, actually. That's how close it is. I think it's 19 kilometers, which I don't know what that is in miles.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been able to do that. And it's just so much easier because everything's so close, technically. And flights are not that bad. If you can plan ahead of time, well, pre-COVID, you could plan ahead of time and you can find flights that were relatively cheap and then just find a nice Airbnb or apartment to stay in. So that's been really cool.
And so you mentioned that you guys both now work remotely. And I know you are, and you're both in business for yourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. So talk to me a little bit about, because I feel like being in business for yourself is amazing. Does it tend to be a little bit more isolating because you don't necessarily have coworkers and all of that? So just kind of talk to me about that and then how you all have managed to kind of build a community for yourselves.
Yeah. So what I did was when I quit my job in 2017, mm-hmm. I started my business and then I moved to Spain. So I started my business and then moved abroad at the same time. I would not recommend that to anybody. So if you can start your business either before or move before, do one or the other before, and then you can do the other one. But I just remember the first couple months, that was a really big transition for me to one, start working for myself, and then also to transition to living abroad actually full time. Because other times I was kind of like on this visa to teach English, and I was actually here on a residency visa. So long term, and that was really intense. So I guess the biggest thing that I can say to start your own business and kind of work for yourself is to network a lot. When I first got to Madrid, I didn't know anybody. So I basically threw myself into different Facebook groups. I tried to find as many networking events in English or Spanish as possible. And I just went out and had virtual coffee chats with people or actual coffee chats with people as often as I could, just to meet anybody. Mm-hmm. Because if I had stayed home, I think I would have potentially have lost my mind. That wasn't, yeah. And then my boyfriend, actually, he just quit his job. So he was working full time for 2 years, kind of like really supporting me and making sure that my business was going okay. And then when my business started doing really well and being more stable and sustainable, he was able to leave his job. So he quit in July. And he's actually working on building his own business now. So yeah, a very different shift. So now that I've been 3 years in business, he's now kind of setting up the foundations and the base to build his. And we just try and, I don't know, get out as much as possible. Now it's a little bit different because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But if there are potentially virtual networking events, then trying to talk to other people who kind of get it makes it easier than, you know, just kind of being in your head all the time, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. I feel like I see that a lot, that concern when you're talking about moving abroad and kind of making this big decision is, oh, well, how am I going to have friends? And how am I still going to be able to socialize? Because of course, humans, we are social people.
Yes.
So I feel like that's a big question on everyone's mind. So thank you for kind of explaining that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, it was putting myself out there. And I guess it's different because I'm an extrovert. So I thrive off of meeting other people and throwing myself in these situations. And I assume for an introvert, it might be a little bit different. But from what I've seen and from moving around to different areas within Spain, there are so many Facebook groups that you can kind of like lurk in and pop in and out of. So if somebody says something and it doesn't seem like a really big group, well, now I wouldn't recommend a really big group, but one-on-one meeting, then that is a great way to meet different people and kind of just see what is out there. Because if I hadn't done that, I probably would have just kept to myself and felt very alone.
Yeah, for sure. And the Facebook groups are huge. I think there is a group for everything if you search for it. So those are a really great way to meet people for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so, two-pronged question. What is your biggest piece of advice for people who are looking to move abroad? And then do you have any advice for anyone that is hoping to also find love out of their own country?
Oh, okay. So I'll answer the first one first. So moving abroad, I think it's probably coming in without expectations because you really never know what's going to happen until you get over there. Like, you can plan as much as possible. You can do as much research as possible. But there are so many things that like you just don't realize that you do in your quote unquote normal home or country that you would then have to do in a different country or potentially a different language. So kind of just being open to that. And if you feel frustrated, then it's totally normal. Just don't have expectations. Because I remember there were so many things that I didn't realize that I had to do in Spanish, like opening a bank account or going to the grocery store and asking, where's the black pepper? I didn't know how to ask that. Or like when I didn't finish food, I had to ask for a takeout box, but I didn't know how to ask for a takeout box to go.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of being open to those things and not having expectations. And I think that helps with kind of setting the mood, because if you come in with expectations, and of course, if it doesn't end up right, it just feels worse because you are abroad. And there's this whole stigma of, oh, if I'm abroad, it's supposed to be like Instagram. And some days it's like Instagram and other days it's like, what have I done? Oh my gosh. So that's for the moving abroad. For the people who are potentially looking for love abroad, I think the same advice applies, because I was not expecting to go into it and find a partner. I'm lucky that I found somebody. And I guess if you do end up in a relationship abroad with somebody who has a different culture, language, or whatever as you, I would say communication is probably the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that is in the same language or a different language, maybe I would say communication and patience are hand in hand, but I don't know if that applies to, you know, just a relationship, a multicultural relationship, or just any relationship, really.
I agree. I mean, I think they're important in any relationship. I would venture to say, especially when you're coming from two separate cultures, like that's where that communication really comes in.
Yes. And the patience to kind of say, okay, something is just not connecting either because there's a culture shock or the tone of voice. Because I remember in Spanish, they're more, I guess, passionate when they say things. So it sounds like they're yelling. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? Why are you yelling? But it wasn't. It was just their voice just kind of went a little bit higher. But at least in the US, to me, it was like, oh my gosh, this person's yelling at me. And they're like, no, no, no. And then when I actually heard somebody yell, I was like, oh no, totally different. Different levels here. Different level.
Yes, definitely. So thank you so much. This has been such a fun conversation. So thank you so much for allowing us this kind of peek into your life. It has been really fascinating.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I hope it was helpful for anybody thinking about moving abroad, finding love abroad, starting a business abroad. It can be done. Yeah. Just patience.
Yeah. So tell everyone where we can connect with you.
So if you want to check out the business, which is the Quirky Pineapple Studio, you can find us at our website, www.thequirkypineapple.com, or on Instagram at the Quirky Pineapple Studio. And if you want to connect with me on a more personal level and check out Malaga City or Madrid or wherever and what it's like to be abroad and live abroad, then you can follow me at Cassandra T. Lay on Instagram.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you again. And we will see you all next time.
Thanks, Brittany.
Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're new here, join our tribe and hit that subscribe button. And be sure to come and find me on Instagram at itsbrittany24 and tell me what you thought of this week's episode. I value your opinions and your feedback, so feel free to leave a comment or shoot me a DM and let me know your thoughts. Until next time.